Let us pray. Gracious God, encounter us now amidst all the various ways that we have arrived here this morning, from weeks that were filled with stress or weeks that were filled with joy. Whether we come here excited or sleepy or wherever we happen to be, Lord God, encounter us now in these moments so that we may experience your grace where we most need to feel it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad that we could gather together this week, and a little bit of preamble for you. We heard a message today, a lesson from the book of Isaiah, which is kind of unique with what we're doing now with our narrative lectionary. Instead of using the Revised Common Lectionary, we're using this narrative lectionary where we began with creation and we're telling the stories of the Bible kind of in sequential order. We talked about Amos last week, and now here we are with maybe the grandest of all the prophets, Prophet Isaiah. And there's no way we can cover all of Isaiah on a Sunday morning or certainly in a week. So it's unique that the text that we got to hear today was one with which we were already familiar. And when you heard the text read today from Isaiah chapter 9, I'm imagining that you immediately moved to Christmas. And I kind of want to just set the record straight. You know, Apple Blossom Mall has already started decorating for Christmas. Other places have already started decorating for Christmas. There are even places that you can hear Christmas music on your radios. And I want to let you know that Pastor Dave has not fallen into that trap. That's not why we are listening to this now, because I want to usher us and rush us on to the Christmas season. Not at all. Indeed, it is here because it was a text set for this day as part of our narrative lectionary. But I do think in some ways it's important that we're hearing this text that we're used to hearing usually in and around Advent or maybe even on Christmas Eve, to hear this text now set here, because I believe that it will allow us to see something different about this text than we would have otherwise been able to do. Because certainly in and around Christmas time, whenever you hear these words, for a son has been born for us, a son given to us, we immediately go to the nativity, to the story of Jesus. However, today I would like to begin us instead kind of at the beginning of this text. The text that begins, "The people who walked in darkness." Now, I want to start here because I want to ask the question to all of us whether or not we have ever really considered that part of the text and ask the question, who are the people who walked in darkness? The reality is that those people who had walked in darkness were the very people that Isaiah is prophesying to. You see, there were two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Last week I talked about how Amos had come out of the south, kind of like me, and gone to the north, kind of like I did, and told the word and preached the word to the people of the north. And so that was last week. Isaiah is prophesying to this southern kingdom. But let me tell you what had happened just around this time. You see, the northern kingdom had fallen. An oppressive army from Assyria had come in and destroyed them. And here's the thing. The southern kingdom of Judah, who at times had an adversarial relationship with their kin in the north, but sometimes they were frenemies, really. They were friends when it suited their own interest. This, however, was not one of those times. And the people of the southern kingdom could have chosen to fight on the side of the north. However, they did not. They chose instead to become a vassal state to the Assyrians. Meaning, they sold out the north. They went to the Assyrians, they said, okay, just don't invade us. We'll give you money. We'll cover our own hiney. So when you talk about the people who walked in darkness, you're not talking about people who are simply living in fear of becoming oppressed by a foreign nation. You're talking about people who are living in shame for selling out their families, their kin, the other tribes with whom they argued and fought like families do, but they sold them out. You're talking about fear and shame, and you're talking about the darkness and pain of this kind of struggle. And it tells us and asks us, it begs the question for our own lives, how often is our own darkness found in fear and in shame and in frustration and in pain, whether that be with family, whether that be with friends, whether that be in profession, whether that be in any other aspect of our lives. Darkness is real. And so this word from Isaiah, the prophet who is speaking to his people in the southern kingdom, is saying, I am acknowledging your darkness that is born not only from those events that are outside of you, but from your own choices as well. And in the midst of that darkness, he offers a word of hope. Because indeed, whenever we are feeling shame or fear or anger or distrust or dis-ease in any way, what we want most is to hear some kind of word. A word that will give us light amid our darkness. This past week I shared this story as a part of my devotion, but I want to share it again. It's a story of my daughter, Leah. And she's awesome. She's so much cooler than her brothers. Just kidding. What Leah does not like, however, is the dark. And so much so that at night, guess what we have to do? We have to not only turn on her night light, we have to turn on the overhead light and dim it so that it's on a little bit. We have to leave the hallway light on and her door open. It's like the brightest day in her room. So she can go to sleep because she's afraid of the dark. Well, she does not like what's happening right now with it becoming dark so much earlier. We had gone out to dinner as a family, probably to Buffalo Wild Wings. Because that is our favorite place. Well, that's my favorite place. I have brainwashed my children to now it's their favorite place. I'm not sure how Heidi feels about all of this at all. But the reality is we had gone out to dinner, we were coming back, and it was dark. And as we were getting out of the car, Leah goes, Daddy, Daddy, it's dark, I don't like the dark. And she was on the ground, and so I kind of grabbed her, as you do as a father, and you, as a parent, you pick up your child who's hurting, and I put her in my arms, and as soon as I did, guess what? Over the trees and over the car and over the different things that were blocking her way, she could see the moon, and she looked up, she goes, Daddy, Daddy, the moon, it's not dark anymore, she says. And I started thinking about that experience as I reflected on what Isaiah was doing to these people who are walking in darkness. You see, if little Leah had just gotten out of the car and looked down as she would have want to do, maybe even hold my hand, but she would have been looking down and walking amidst the darkness, she never would have been able to see the moon. And it reminded me, it's oftentimes like my own life of walking in darkness and shame and pain and hurt and uncertainty and fear. You know, all I do is I'm trying to get through the darkness. And oh, how I wish someone would lift me up so that I could see the light. Little Leah found hope in the moon. The light that came into the darkness. We, as the people of God, in walking amidst our own darknesses, whatever they happen to be for you at this moment, at this time in your life, whatever the darkness has been maybe in your past, or a darkness that you can't even see that you will be experiencing in the future, whatever those darknesses happen to be, what we are called to do is to look for that light, and oftentimes we need to remember yet again what God has done to lift us up so that we can indeed see the light. What God has done to lift us up so that we might see the light is that God once lifted Himself up onto a cross. God allowed Himself to be lifted up so that this cross was symbolic of the God who has come near to our darkness. A God who is not afraid of our darkness. A God who is willing to even be overcome through death in the darknesses of this world. So that this God who has come near, this God who has come to speak a word of hope into and light into our darkness, this very one who said, "I am the light of the world," allowed Himself to be lifted up. So amidst our darknesses, amidst our struggles, amidst our pain, we can too be lifted up in His name. In just a few moments, Avery is going to be baptized. And after she is baptized, I am going to say to her, "You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." And that's not just some really nice thing that religious people say. No, that's powerful words of hope for Avery for the rest of her life. Is the same powerful word that has been marked on your forehead, that you have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. That means you have been marked with the promise of the light of the world, who has come into the darkness and who has been willing and lovingly and graciously given us a light to see through it all. A light that will overcome that darkness. Our God has come near. Isaiah reminds them of this God. And he reminds them that this God will be a God who will redeem them and a God will give them hope. And this prophecy of this Son who is given, who will be called all these wonderful names, ultimately is called the Light. The light of the darkness. Just as a father lifted up a daughter out of love so that the daughter might see light amidst the darkness, our God, through our baptism and through your baptism, has lifted you up from whatever darkness you may experience so that the light will be there, so that you can cling to that light, so you can hope into that light, so that you might find indeed life amidst that light. Our God has done this for you. And our God invites you now to live into the light. Perhaps through whatever way you can to lift another up to the light. Perhaps as a church, it's inviting us to gather those around so that we might lift others to the light. As the body of Christ in this world, we're called to share a message that invites others to see a different story. A story that does not begin in darkness, but one that begins in the light. The light of Christ given to you and me so that we can be the light of Christ in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.